cure for desert places.
You to give us a new refreshment, fresh revelation in Jesus' precious name. Just be seated. Good to see you. We acknowledge our pastor, Pastor Ben. He had to be at that's the right thing to do. Even the right thing to do is for us to stand up and acknowledge whom God has honored. God has honored him. Hallelujah. Just be seated. He has asked me to represent him in this location while he's ministering at Siloko location. I salute every man of God. Understand. God bless you. Thank you for assisting us. We are enjoying the benefits of your presence in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd like you to listen very attentively this very one Sunday morning. We appreciate all our hosts. God bless you. Good morning, family. I'm going to be looking at 10 reasons why every believer should speak in tongues. 10 reasons why every believer should speak in tongues. The reason I'm looking at it this morning is many of us do stuff in church without knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know that the knowledge is not around, the knowledge is around. But they haven't accessed it. Why do we speak in tongues? This week, well, we have been looking at the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How to be led. How to know that the leading is of God. But strongly last night, Tuesday or Wednesday, the Lord began to impress on me to take the people through this teaching. And I'll be interjecting other things in between. Why must we speak in tongues? First of all, what is speaking in tongues? Speaking in tongues is the Holy Spirit praying through your spirit within. Your spirit praying through the Holy Spirit inside you. On Wednesday, we established the fact that when you are born again, there are two experiences subsequent to the new birth. You have the being born again, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Then you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We established those two facts on Wednesday. We also established that the indwelling, the Holy Spirit that comes into your life to live as I'm living in my house, that particular Holy Spirit, that experience is for you to bear fruits that will benefit you. The Holy Spirit is living inside you for your benefit. And then we also established that the second experience is to benefit other people. We established all of that last week on Tuesday. So I want to be sure that all of us understand that. Having said that, if the Holy Spirit is living inside my body, just like I live in my house, how do I know that the Holy Spirit is inside me? Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence. All right? So let's look at what Pastor Paul, I don't know his surname, Apostle Paul. Thank you, sir. All right. Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues. more than you all. That's 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18. He's saying, I wish every believer will speak in tongues. Personally, I also wish that every member of this church will be baptized in the Holy Ghost and even with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's a habit that will make you enjoy God's blessing and source of power. It's a habit. Now, I'm speaking from my mentor, Pastor Kenneth Hagin of the Blessed Memory. You know, he's not a pastor. Kenneth Hagin of the Blessed Memory. I've drank from him since 1985. And I'm still drinking. Speaking in tongues is Paul. There is nobody who is a believer who does not understand the exploits of Apostle Paul. And of course, he's giving you here, this is one of the secrets to my success. Paul had the boldness of an assassin. He could stand before kings and say anything. And not just say anything, speak in a manner that even King Felix or Emperor Felix, anything, not Pastor Felix that is there, began to say, check, that you have almost taken me over by this thing you're saying. He had such powerful oratory skills. It's not just natural talent. It is that extra added to his natural. So if Apostle Paul, was exhibiting such powerful, uncommon achiever's attitude and had results, this is one of his secrets. And that he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I pray that this will become your own desire this morning in the name of Jesus. Speaking in tongues releases a source of power. It is a source of blessing. I wish you will come to understand the blessings that you can get, that you can receive through the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives as you speak in tongues. This year, I have only one prayer before God, intimacy and fellowship. I wish my phone is here. I wanted to read you a message that someone sent to me, a broadcast, where people were sending New Year message. He said, all I pray for you this year is God. That prayer covers that you want to buy houses, you want to be a world-class performer. That prayer is a global prayer. Because I came back to look at myself and said, very necessarily, unintentionally, the reason why many of us come to church is for things. And that's why many of us do not grow in the things of God. We don't give attention. Holy Spirit, help me this morning. We don't give attention to the things that matters most, because the reason why we came to church are for things that do not matter most. This teaching I'm teaching this morning, some people say, we don't need it. I'm already speaking in tongues. Do you know how to receive the blessings out of that act? That's what we're looking at. There are blessings. There are power. There is power stored as you speak in tongues. The first reason why everybody must speak in tongues, every believer, is initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 4. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10 verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Number one, speaking in tongues is initial evidence that the Holy Spirit has filled you. Speaking in tongues was the supernatural sign that the believers saw that helped them to know that we have received the Holy Spirit. Of course, Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, as we read it now, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The moment they were filled, automatically it began to overflow. In John 7:37, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you pour water inside a container, once it is full, it will overflow. That's what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit, I am filled to overflowing. That's what he's talking about. So how do I know that the Holy Spirit is inside me? One of the initial signs is that you see that you're speaking in tongues. It's a supernatural sign because you didn't learn the tongues from anywhere. Let me share from experiences as God has helped me through this Christian faith. We were in Otupo in Makodi. Yes, I was still in secondary school then. I was in Benue State. Benue is in Makodi, is in Benue, isn't it? Good. I was still in class 3. That's what you would call class 3 working a day, Pastor. I didn't do class 3 then. Class 3 then is winning now. Class, take it as you have heard it. I didn't do classes. That class 3, we didn't use it, we didn't call it JSS anything. We called it class 3. So we were on this missionary trip to Otubo. We went to a particular village. I didn't know that that village is in this Nigeria. With my, I then, a teenager, was about, I was 13. Now, we couldn't communicate with the indigents. They were not speaking the one we were speaking, neither were we speaking the one they were speaking. So there was language barrier. The only person we could communicate to with was our host. So this particular night, I wasn't the pastor. I was an escortoyo for my pastor. So I was the one carrying things to move. I was in the prayer team and then the singing ministry at the same time. This particular night, the pastor, who was a reverend father, said this night that he wants to conduct baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I said, we don't conduct it in this our church. Oh. He said the Lord told him to conduct baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I asked myself, the interpreter, we even have problems with this. We went there. He said, Katarina, we should be praying. We said, pray. Father began the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Halfway through, an old woman, the oldest woman in the village then, she was about almost 100, started speaking English. And you know me, God has helped me from doubting Thomas syndrome. I went very close to, I have interacted with this, I've been with them for about 2 weeks. They cannot say come or go. Everybody started speaking in tongues. The woman was speaking English. She wasn't just speaking English. She was speaking English with a British accent. I said, this is the miracle of today. I said, where is this in the Bible? I discovered in the Acts of the Apostles, as they were speaking, the people were understanding them. When we got home, I went to my pastor. I said, you have to explain to us what happened. He said that what they spoke that day, I may not be able to speak the English. My pastor spoke 13 languages with the accent. He called it 13 foreign languages with the accent. He called it, I can spell it, G-L-O-S-S-I-A. Whether Arude, Glossolalia. Please make up the rest. That is, the person is speaking supernaturally by the Holy Ghost, but he's speaking in a language you understand. God uses it to communicate his will. And while that woman was speaking, she began to give us revelation. Do you know that when the service was over, she went back to Otubo with the accent? I have never forgotten that experience till today. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you should desire to speak in tongues. Don't use one thing to explain it away. Don't say this, they don't even know what they are speaking. I've explained to you the two. And of course, in tongues, there is tongues to pass message. That's the glossolalia. There is tongues to God. When you're speaking in tongues, you are speaking in a language someone can pick up the interpretation. Ben, you are speaking supernaturally to God. You're praying. There is another evidence that helps us to know that someone is born again and has received the Holy Spirit, is love. That's why in Romans chapter 5 verse 5, write it down. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost living in us. When the Holy Spirit comes inside you, he releases love. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, he said, we know that we have passed from death to life. That is, we have been born again. Because we love the brethren. What is my evidence that I am born again? I love the brethren. When you are born again, you can't hate someone. Even if you force yourself to hate, and your body is telling you, hate your brother-in-law, hate your mother-in-law, you really can't hate the person. You don't have the potential to hate. On Sunday, I told you that the reason why the dove is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I explained it to you. I want to re-establish it again today. Of course, you saw the dove when Jesus was being baptized. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside you. The dove is a sign of peace. He comes to calm down your nature. If you are an agbero, he calms down your nature from an agbero to a gentleman. If you're a fighter, he calms down your nature from a fighter to a gentleman. If you're a sex worker, he does something on your inside that you can't explain. It's the Holy Spirit. If you are addicted to something, he breaks it down. But of course, you must allow him to do it. If you have passed from death to life, means you're born again. I can't hate anybody. When he calms down your nature, you find out that unconsciously, you have a burden to help other people. You feel this kind of concern to help people. You don't even know where the concern have come from. Do you know that unfortunately, some of the areas where you want to help people, you yourself may require help that in those areas. I remember when I didn't have any child biologically at all. And I was in my office one day, I had serious miscarriage and I was bleeding seriously. And a woman walked into my office weeping, crying. A pastor's wife. He said, Pastor, I just had a miscarriage. I'm looking for someone to encourage me. Well, you should be talking to the wrong person. But I couldn't tell her that she's talking to the wrong person. I laid hands on her and prayed. Do you know that 9 months after, she called me after 6 weeks, said, you won't believe what has happened. Say, you're a great woman of God. God has used you to cause wonders in my life. I said, what? He said, for the past 9 years, I just confirmed that I'm pregnant. I followed that to say, praise the Lord. And I asked, Holy Spirit, which kind of nonsense is this? Are they pray for other people? I don't feel pray for myself. 9 months after she brought the baby, he said, only you, pastor's wife. He said, you are the one that will dedicate this child. And again, while I was going through this desert for 5 years, I kept praying for women they were taking in continuously. Sometimes he puts a burden in your heart. You have the problem or you have the challenge, but he puts you in that place to minister to people who have that challenge. I've come to discover that your test is your testimony. Your misery is your mystery. Your misery is your ministry. Paul said that we are poor, but we're making everybody rich. That's why pastors, when our church members are prospering and it looks as if they're even prospering more than us, we're not envying them. We are the kingmakers. Are we still together? The Holy Spirit gives you a concern for people. I was sharing with a young man. He said, I have this burden. He said, when I go to my school and I look at the way young men and women live, he said, Pastor, my heart is broken. He said, young men of 14, 15, you see them, they live wayward life. He said, what can I do to help them? I said to myself, that's a burden. Now, that burden is not pastor that put it. It's the Holy Spirit that put it. It's a concern. Some of you have concern. One of my children told me that my burden is to be, is a doctor. He said, I want to have a hospital that caters for ministers so that they don't go through any kind of embarrassment. Because they are talking to doctors who may not understand them. Everything you are doing in life that is a concern, a source of concern, is the Holy Spirit that put it inside you. The second reason why every believer must speak in tongues. Number two, tongues is a means of edification. The first reason is an initial sign. The second is a means of edification. Jude 20, it says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded in your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost." When you pray in the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, what happens to you is God is establishing you on your faith. The second thing that happens to you is that you are making progress. The third thing that happens to you is that you are rising and rising and rising. Our problem in Nigeria as Christians is that many of us are not growing spiritually. We have handed over our spiritual growth to our pastors, thinking that what my pastor will do for himself will make me grow. In fact, some people think that their pastor's spiritual growth by osmosis or diffusion will enter their heart. And some people think that because they are in a church where the pastor is very, very anointed, they themselves are very, very anointed. It doesn't work like that. Your spiritual growth is a non-transferable responsibility. Whatever I have done with God this morning, you won't put a pipe in my spirit and connect it to your own. Why is it that Native Doctors' business is doing well? That Native Doctors has even rebranded and have logo now. That before, when you go to Native Doctor, it's in the bush. Now, it's air conditioner office. Because we have provided a market for Native Doctors. I'll tell you how we provided the market. Why is it that false pastors, you go to their church, their church starts from morning. It's on Monday till Sunday. Every day. The place is jammed. Are the people going there for spiritual growth? No. They are going there for shortcuts. There are two ways to pass exams. Either you pass exams by expo, or you pass exams by sitting down to study to show yourself approved. As a workman, work out your salvation with trembling and fear. Now, the point is that many of us who are believers do not want to be established on the faith where healing is concerned, on the faith where spiritual growth is concerned, on the faith where stewardship is concerned, where evangelism and mission is concerned, where using your abilities to serve others. Do you know that wherever you're working, you're using your abilities to serve others? We don't want to be established on our faith where those things are concerned. Where we want someone to be established and transfer it to us. That's the same thing when you use Expo. So what do? They look for someone who has grown, not to learn, not to put himself under the person to learn, but for the person to be working for him. It was Kenneth Hagin that said that his sister died, and he was so angry with God, he went to God and said, "How can you allow my sister, a whole man of God of renown, world preacher like me?" And God said to him, "Boy, as long as your sister is a spiritual babe, you can carry him on your back. But a time comes, whether he grows or not, you must put the child down for the child to use his two legs to move." Where is there any little baby in this church? Where is Yahuda? Where is Yahuda? I want to give you a baby to make example. Pastor Brad, where is your baby? Give me any baby that doesn't have weight. Give me any baby that doesn't have weight. Don't give me faith. Give me any baby. Give me that one you are carrying. Now, look at, as we are in this church, run with the baby, Usher. Usher, you should be Jimmy. Yeshua. We won't play today. It's not for, I want to use you for example. Give me the baby. That's Pastor Felix's baby. Now, I'm holding Yeshua in my hand. Yeshua, as long as Yeshua is a baby, I am permitted to carry him. Feed him. Undress him. Change his diapers. He's permitted to come to church and play. Imagine if Yeshua is playing in church. You say, "Yeshua, be orderly." Will you be orderly now? Now, the child will think that two of you are playing. If he says, "Yeshua, be orderly." Be orderly. Because he's a child. But a time comes. Give me a baby that has grown. And give me K. Give me another one. No, that one is still a baby. Give me another one. No, it'll not be K. There. Catch another one. Come now. Now, if I put this one down, You know, even greed come down, sir. You know, greed come. Don't. You see her now? You see? Well, somebody you're using to make example in teaching, the camera is rolling, he's crying. Because he's a baby. Oh, yeah, see daddy. Oh, yeah, I'm doing. Put your hands together for him. Now, okay, bring the two. Imagine me. You know why everybody is laughing? You don't know what will happen to my energy. Imagine me carrying this one, changing her diapers. What would she be wearing diapers at this time for? All right? Okay, calm down. Marcus McCain, come. Now, imagine Marcus, come. I want to try to carry you. I know I won't be able, but let me try. Any believer that you have been a child of God for a long time, you want your pastor to carry you. No, the pastor said, after some time, will give up. Thank you, man. God bless you. Speaking in tongues helps you to be established on your faith. Then it helps you to make progress with your life. As you speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit will direct you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He should direct your path. Let me tell you, our problem is that you try to lean on your understanding. And your understanding is very limited. For me not to lean on my understanding, I have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Then He will direct my path. You make progress with your secular life. You make progress with your spiritual life. You make progress everywhere. I have discovered that when I come to a junction and I don't know what to do. For instance, we're supposed to be in Abo for our Living Your Dreams conference and campaign next week. I wasn't having peace about going next week. By myself, I just got on praying in the Holy Ghost. So Lord, direct us concerning the time for this programming. Labrahasi proto shere keteria. Holy Spirit, we ask for wisdom where this conference is concerned. Are we going at the right time? Before we knew it, we discovered that around that time, students will not be in school. The moment the date was changed, I have peace. It has happened to me again and again that we needed to take a decision concerning the area of ministry to pursue, or to take a decision concerning the village to go to minister. And I just begin praying the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, I'm drought of ideas. I don't have ideas anymore. What do I do? As I begin to pray, after some time, I discover that an understanding, a knowing, begin to flow through my understanding. I begin to know. I can't tell you I know how I know, but I just have this knowledge in my inside that this is what I should do. If I don't have that, Pastor Charlie may come to talk to me, or Pastor Moses, Pastor Joseph, Pastor Moses, and they will say something, and my spirit will bear witness that this is what you ought to do. I'm making progress with my life. All right? The Holy Spirit, as you speak in tongues, helps you to avoid potholes. The Holy Spirit, as you speak in tongues, helps you to avoid life dangers. As you speak in tongues, you are making progress. He helps me to be, as I speak in tongues, I'm becoming a better life wife. Now listen, people in my capacity, if you're not careful, pride could enter your heart. Where practically everywhere I go to, when people see me, they practically want to come and touch me. Is this, am I touching a human being? Am I touching a spirit? Are you the person we're seeing? We went to a village. Pastor went to a village last 2 weeks, 2nd of January. As we got there, we went to do some, check our shelter. And some of you saw me. They looked at me. Please, we want to ask you a question. I say, what? Are you by any means Pastor K? I ask myself, what purpose is this question? Is it for kidnapping purposes? If you live in Edo State, you must open your eye like fish. I said, why are you asking? He said, there's someone we always see on television. You look like that person. Are you the one? I said, yes. If you see the way they rejoiced that they saw me. See, is it our eye we are using to see you so, or our spirit? I went to hospital to check my eyes. The nurse, the doctor, anybody. I turned into a drama.
They attended to me very quickly. He said, "What? Now listen, if you are not careful, you will become proud. When your husband talks one, he say, 'Ah, do you know who I am? This is Pastor K of the universe.' Speaking in tongues helps you to be a good wife. Helps you to be a good husband. Speaking in tongues. You know, my husband could come and say, 'Yeah, I'm in charge of this church. My wife, I want to warn you, don't ever say anything in this church again.'" A woman who is a pastor, whenever she preaches and the church members clap, the husband will come and warn her. It's like, "You want to take this church from my hand." Speaking in tongues makes you to be a good CEO. Speaking in tongues. Now, do you know, you can't quantify the relationship between speaking in tongues and these things. Because God, His ways are mysterious. You don't know what He is working inside you as you're speaking in tongues. The best part I love about edification, edification means you are rising, you are rising, you are rising. So each day when you speak in tongues, you have a change in your status. Just by sitting in your house, making labaro share baraka. Have you ever wondered that there are some people you thought you will meet in 20 years time, you meet in 40 years time. All of a sudden, you meet them this year. You say, "My God, what has happened? Do you know where you grew? By this time last year, as you speak in tongues, you gain time. Your life is fast forwarded into the future. You become 1,000 times better in speaking in tongues. So the things, people you ought to meet in 10 years time, as you're speaking in tongues, you are going into 2013, 2015, 2020. The people you ought to meet in 2020, because you have already in 2020, you meet them. That's what it means, rising and rising. And your spirit man will be growing fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. Listen, when you want to push down a fat man, you are careful. No, but you can't just see a fat man and push him down. You can push leba, but a fat man you can't. As you speak in tongues, your spirit is becoming agdiba. Satan cannot just rubbish you anyhow. In fact, when Satan looks at you in the spirit, you know what he sees? He sees a giant bigger than Goliath. And then he knows that you don't just point at Goliath anyhow, except you're a David. Are you here? If I tell you to pray in tongues now, will you pray? Pray a little bit. Pray a little bit in tongues. Am I blessing anybody today? Look at what the scripture said. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." As you're praying the Holy Ghost, your spirit is the one doing the work. Your spirit is becoming fruitful, productive. Then it says, "So he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." I love the way Amplified put it. "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the spirit within me prays. My mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself." Pastor Matthew speaks about 100% life improvement. How do you get it? By first of all, praying in the Holy Ghost. And listen, speaking in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:22. "Thus, tongues are meant for a supernatural sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers on the point of believing." Now, tongues is for unbelievers. The moment when I'm an unbeliever, I know I speak no tongues. The moment I become a believer, all of a sudden I discover that I'm speaking this language, that I don't know how I got it. It convinces me further that I am born again. The next point. I don't know whether I'm blessing anybody today. Are you here? Do you know that when you speak in tongues, your spirit man can never dry up? When you speak in tongues, you enrich your life spiritually. When you speak in tongues, it helps you, it assists you to worship God. Do you know why so many of us, you get to the place of prayer, after 2 minutes, you're tired? Some of this, if you don't pray in tongues, how many things will you say in English? "Father, we thank you, we bless you. We glorify you, amen. Father, we thank you again. We bless you again. We glorify you. Father, I thank you for Pastor K and the husband. I thank you for Eagle Heights. I thank you for our church. I thank you for my president of Nigeria. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you." After some time, you're tired. Because your tongue, your brain will be saying, "This is a useless prayer. The prayer is not going forward, it's not going backward." Speaking in tongues assists you to worship God. It's a divine way of secretly communicating with God. When we speak in tongues, Satan is confused. Satan cannot decode that language. You are talking to God by supernatural means. We said that they carried my thing to the coven. It's just that all your prayers are done in English. Oh God, let's move on. It keeps us continually aware of the Holy Spirit's presence inside us. A pastor shared an experience where he came to visit one of the church members, and the 12-year-old daughter was cursing the mother. The moment the girl turned back and saw the pastor, she became very shy and kept quiet. The pastor said, "Little girl, do you know that you saw me and you ran away? Someone has been watching you since while you have been abusing your mother. If you have been conscious of that person, you won't even start it at all." Now, friends, the girl began to practice being conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit inside her. The pastor said, "Each time you want to curse your mother, always try to remember that the Holy Spirit is inside you." He told the girl, "Make a conscious effort to always have an awareness of the presence of the Holy Ghost." He saw the girl 2 years after. The girl said, "I used to have serious hot temper, but I began practicing this thing you taught me, and that's how that hot temper ended." Many of us are always forgetting, and that we don't carry the conscious awareness that the Holy Spirit is inside us. When you have that awareness, it will affect the way you think. It will affect the way you live. It will affect the way you act. Just by this consciousness, the Holy Spirit is inside me. By this consciousness that I'm carrying someone. Make a conscious effort to remember. Don't forget it. If you have a wound injuring your leg, even when you forget the injury himself, put an alarm in your phone. Every 1 hour or every 2 hours, remind me of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It will affect your behavior completely. Many of us are trying to stop one or two or three things. You say, "This year I've made New Year resolution that I will stop something." You can't stop nothing. It's not by your power. Some of us say when you are angry, the devil himself will say, "Chai!" Now human being, they vest like this. Because the devil thinks that he's the one that can be so angry. If you begin to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, some of us say when you carry malice in your heart, malice. They say the Bible says, we even tell you that the Bible says, "Forgive your brother 70 times 7. He said, "This one won't settle it in heaven, won't settle it. Even if I have to go to hell with this anger, I prefer to go to hell." It's not your fault. You are trying to let it go. You can't. Now begin to allow, acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Become conscious of his presence all the time. The next one, number 4, it helps you to eliminate the possibility of selfishness and praying against the will of God. Which scripture? It says, all the elders, 1 Samuel chapter 8, 4-7. All the elders of Israel assembled and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint us a king to rule over us like all the other nations." 6. But it displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken to the voice of the people in all they say to you, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me, that I should be king over them." This is the first time these people prayed amiss. They were asking for a king. God was their king. God didn't want them to be like other nations. He wanted to direct and rule them by himself. They came and said, "No, every other nation have a king. We also want to be like them." The sin of comparing yourself with the Joneses, trying to be like everyone. Listen to me. There are 7.2 billion people still counting. God insists that you should be different, that your life should count, that you should matter in your own, using your own gifts. God doesn't want you to be like Pastor K. He doesn't want you to be like Pastor Moses. He doesn't like you to be like Pastor Felix. God wants you to be you. The first time they prayed amiss, and when they got a king, their lives went astray. Look at the second time. I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the job of the Holy Spirit? If you understand that speaking in tongues helps you to eliminate the possibility of selfishness and praying against the will of God, what will you do? The Holy Spirit is not responsible for your prayer life. He is sent to help you to pray. It is tongues, is praying as the Spirit gives you utterance. It is called directed prayer. A lot of us pray, but we do not pray directed prayer. We pray driven prayer. We don't pray directed prayer. Let me explain. A comforter is someone who comes to make your life comfortable. A counselor is someone that makes sure that you don't walk in error. The Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there is safe, there is what? Not destiny. Not destiny. What is the difference between safety and destiny? Safety means I was supposed to enter trouble. I have been preserved from trouble, but I may not have entered my destiny. When we cancel you, if the cancel is not directed by the Holy Spirit, it will only give you safety, but not destiny. The Lord was telling me something this morning that blew my mind. He said the world is almost going astray. I said, how? He said, in fact, people are categorizing life into three ways. We have people who have given themselves to the devil. We have other people who have given themselves to God. Then we have a third set of people who have given themselves to what you call the New Age religion. So there are some pastors who preach. What they say is very good, but it is New Age religion. And God said to me, never tell people to be self-confident. That's New Age religion. Tell them that their confidence should come from God. How can you have confidence in self? That's New Age religion. If you tell people that you want to find your purpose, look inside you. Which you? Is it you, the Holy Spirit? You can't look inside you. You have to get it from the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live a driven life. You know what it means to be driven? I am driven by my problems. I am driven by my challenges. I want to live a directed life. I don't want to pray a prayer driven. I want to pray a directed prayer. Oh my God, Holy Spirit, help me. It is only the counsel of the Holy Spirit that takes you to safety. That's why you must pray in tongues. As you pray in tongues, he's not just taking you to safety, he's taking you to destiny. He says again that he is your helper. Of course, the next scripture says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray, what prayer to offer, or how to pray it well. But the Spirit goes to meet our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable groanings too deep for human utterance. Holy Spirit, help me. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. One of the problems we have, why we don't have results, is that we don't know what prayer to offer or how to even offer the prayer. That's why some of us, our prayer life has gone dry. A believer without a prayer life is like a car without petrol. One of my mentors, Ben Hinn, he said to wake up in the morning and jump out to work without properly soaking yourself in tongues. It's like going to battlefield naked. There are so many of us who wake up in the morning, do not soak themselves in the Holy Spirit, say, we are busy, we are busy, we are busy. One day I wanted to, the Lord said, hold on. He said, what is it? I said, I have some deadlines. Let me meet the deadlines. I will come to pray. He said, look at you. He said, if this is the timeline, you didn't get direction. You didn't get help. He said, the moment you come, the deadline will shift. It will keep shifting. You won't get the prayer. You won't get the deadline. One of my mentors, Gloria Copeland, she said that she would tell herself, when I finish all the work in our house, I will come and pray. She discovered that the work does not ever finish. She changed her mind. She said, I will first of all finish. I will then come and pray. She discovered that day, when she finished, the work she does from morning to night, she did it in 2 hours. Read the book, God's Will for You is the Holy Spirit. Everybody lift your hands and pray in tongues. I heard you, sir. I heard you. Pray in tongues, everyone. I must finish this teaching today. Pray in tongues. Morotoria Santa Braho Sebredesha. In the name of Jesus, let's try and finish it so that we can enter into the exercise. He said, the Holy Spirit is my helper. My helper is the one that helps me. Is the word. My help, there is something that makes me come into your presence, my helper. There is something that makes me come into your presence, my help. Now, I want you to stop thinking that the help of the Holy Spirit is only spiritual. The help of the Holy Spirit is in all dimensions of life. In one of my mentors, Paul Yonggi Cho, in his book, Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner, he said busy executives need the Holy Spirit even more than us. Imagine if your president is directed by the Holy Spirit. Imagine if David Mark is directed by the Holy Spirit. Our problem is that we think that the Holy Spirit is what you use inside church. That once you leave church, you don't need the Holy Spirit. And God said to me, he said, Pastor K, don't destroy your life. You are not more sensible than me. He said, don't destroy your life. He said, you think that your sense can carry you. He said to me, common sense delivers common results. And he said to me, what do you want? Common results or supernatural results? He said to me, how much results can your sense give you? Do you know that there is a thought that can leave the thought of God and impact your brain and corrupts your brain? You begin to walk like Ben 10. It is possible. He is your helper. He helps you to pass exams. He's your helper. He helps you not to make professional mistakes. He's your helper. He helps you to take an executive direction that can help an entire generation. He doesn't just help you spiritually. He helps you in your secular life. He helps you as a musician. He helps you as an entertainer. He helps you as a sportsman. He helps you as a wife. He helps you in every way. That's where the Holy Spirit is given to you. Stop limiting the Holy Spirit to seek spiritual affairs and take him beyond the social impact. The Holy Spirit has social impact. The Holy Spirit knows determinations and destinies. I will explain what I mean by that. It was Philip that when he preached, where he went, he had extraordinary results. He wanted to put up his hand, signboard and write, Philip, the Bishop of the Most High God. Holy Spirit said, this is not the place. This is not your determination. He lifted him and joined him to an Ethiopian eunuch. That was how the gospel got to Africa. Listen, that place was in God's determination for him. Hear me. Benin City is in God's determination for Pastor K. I was sharing with you now how I did a crusade in Makurdi. There is nowhere most I have, for this church matter, I have gone to east, west, north, and south. This place is in God's determination for my life. From this place, I am reaching the entire world. Everybody has a base. You must discover your base. There are determinations. It is only Holy Spirit that will bring it. Destiny. There are some friends that they call destiny helpers. I call them dream makers. That when they come into your life, they begin to make your dream to happen. You don't know where they are. It is the Holy Spirit that will lead you to them. Some of these friends may not look like it. The person that helped Naaman, the general, was a little slave girl in his house. There are some people who must be in your life for your dream to happen. You can't talk about Paul without talking about Barnabas. Everybody said, throw Paul away. Barnabas came and said, on my integrity, receive him. If not for that thing, Barnabas said, we had 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It is written by one man. Barnabas knew what to do. He endorsed Paul's ministry and the other people accepted him. There is someone somewhere that is a dream maker for your life. It is only the Holy Spirit. Everybody pray in tongues. Holy Spirit, help me. You see, you understand what you're doing. And so when we say do it, you do it better. In the name of Jesus, let's go. Look at this number 5. It provides a way for things to be prayed for about which no one thinks to pray or is aware of. There are some things that are happening in some places. You won't know those things are happening. The Lord will wake you up in the night and you are groaning. He's telling you to do something. I want to give you 3 examples. 2 nights ago, I woke up. My spirit man was burdened. When I was a younger Christian, I would just take a remote control and put television. and begin watching. I didn't know what it was. I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. I just prayed and prayed and prayed. I prayed and prayed in my spirit as I was praying. The Lord opens my eyes. I opened my eyes. There is a family that hosted me in the UK for 2 years. They were nice to me. Very nice. You could mistake me for their first daughter. Last year, they came for a carnival for their first daughter's wedding. While I sat down there watching them, the Spirit of Lord said, this thing shouldn't have been done like this. Should have been done better. But this day, while I was praying 2 nights ago, I saw the man on the floor tied like a goat. As if they used some things to break his legs. I just started praying for him. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. The next day, I picked up the phone and I called the wife. I said, can I speak with your uncle? He said, your uncle almost died last night. Had 4 heart attacks. I said, no wonder that at night. And I prayed for him. When I called him the next day, he said, you won't believe, the recovery is shocking. A missionary told a pastor, he said, I woke up in the night, the Spirit of the Lord led me to pray for you. He said, while he was praying, he saw that the man was in a hut, H-U-T. While he was in that hut, he died. The natives brought him out in Africa. And he woke up. When he saw this man, he said, don't be angry. Let's compare diaries. So did. The missionary confirmed that thing you saw was what was happening to me. He said, I died and woke up. He said, I had a burden to pray for you. Kenneth Hagin said he was praying. As he was praying, he had this burden, just restlessness. He started praying. He saw that his brother had fallen out of a moving train, had an accident, died. And then the doctors confirmed that he was dead. I'm cutting a long story short. And then after some, he woke up. When he woke up, when he met his brother, he said, let's compare notes. And that thing he was seeing at that time happened. This thing that at night, you are burdened to pray. Many of us, you don't know what you are praying about. Just pray. Just pray. And listen to me. If you seek vision, Satan will show you. Don't say, I'm seeking vision. I'm a prophet. But the Lord has taught me. The job of the prophet changed in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the job of the prophet is to direct the people. In the New Testament, it is the Holy Spirit that directs his people now. Our job is to provide them counsel. Is this too high for this church? That's the job of the prophet has changed. You don't be led by a prophet. Be led by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. He said in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall any matter be confirmed. The prophet's job is to confirm what the Lord has been speaking to me that I may not have understood. When you wake up in the morning, you are sleeping. See, you are sleeping this early morning. When you wake up in the morning, there is a burden to pray. Take the burden. So what am I praying about? I don't know. Do you know that sometimes you find out that you're in prayer, you're something like this. There is a boiling on your inside. Does it happen to anybody here? When you see when that thing is happening, you are praying in tongues. You are praying in tongues. Sometimes you find out that your mouth may not even be opening, but your spirit is rumbling. He prays in us with words that cannot be uttered. Sometimes you see that your lips is doing. You are praying in tongues. He goes beyond words that can be uttered to words that cannot be uttered. So praying in tongues is very important. Number 6, it helps us to learn to trust God more fully. Do you know that in praying in tongues, you don't know where the language is coming from? Is anyone getting blessed today? If I tell you to pray in tongues, will you pray? I'm not praying in tongues. You don't know where the language is coming from. Therefore, you must trust God. It stimulates your faith and helps you to trust God more. Listen, you must exercise faith to pray in tongues. As you're doing it, you don't know what to say next. So you have to depend on God. In praying in tongues, it's not God that will take your lips and do it like this. And he won't take your tongue and do it like this. You will do the talking, he will give you the utterance.
Is this understood?
Number 7. It is the best rest cure in the world. Isaiah 28 verse 11 to 12. He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people. This is speaking in tongues. With stammering lips and another tongue. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. A lot of times we say, we're tired. We're exhausted. We're tired. Even doctors will recommend. I remember that Dr. Dubo came to see me. He said, Mama, you need to rest. Listen to me. All of us must know that in the body of believers, we all minister to ourselves. Thank you, O Lord. The Lord said this to this minister. Say, explain to the church. It's not only pastor that ministers to you. You also minister to the pastor and minister to other believers. Dr. Dubo said, Pastor, you are not resting. Rest your eyes. When you are sleeping, off light. Don't leave the light on so that your body can rest. Now, I cannot say, how can you give that kind of advice to an anointed servant of God like me? Then they will bury you. If you won't listen to advice, everybody around you is to minister to you. Ministration comes in different ways. If someone gives birth in this church, we should minister to the person, not just in gifts, not just in words, acts of service. Hello? If your brother is not well dressed, sometimes I come here, my children will tell me, say, this is your shoe, no, man, this is your dress. Wait, make we go give you another shoe. It's ministration. I won't get angry. I say, how can you be advising a woman of God like me? It's the Holy Ghost that told me to dress like this. How can Holy Ghost tell you to wear color riot? Are we together? Am I still your friend? Do you still love me? If you are here, you say, this thing I want to do, God spoke to me. God spoke to me. In doing things, you must seek for professional advice. Except the Holy Ghost decides, say, I want to break the protocol. He doesn't break the protocol all the time. You must take advice. Even God himself took advice from Abraham. He said, I want to finish everybody with someone. God said, no. Abraham said, what if there are 10 people? Will you destroy? God said, now two you talk. God took advice. How can you not take advice? Every member of Friend Foundation, which day do you rest? Not just lying down to watch Jimong, but lying down, libalushe, kele mota, nina likala mune, kelukush, ikata yakush. As you're praying in tongues, your body, the world is too wicked. Sometimes the devil have dealt such blow on you, you don't even know. Tongues is the best cure for rest. As you, it refreshes you. It revives you. You're ready to move on. Do you know that sometimes what makes a minister to fall, everybody is a minister, is tiredness. When you're exhausted, you think terrible thoughts. There are some young people, they don't have any work, but they're always tired. What do they do? Hey, not only good television, they let television from morning to night. You watch television from morning to night. You will be tired. Your eyes will be crying for rest. Lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Those of you that drive around, you are driving, you need rest too. Sometimes you have rested and rested and rested. You are not getting refreshed. Pray don't. Pray don't. And see what happens. Wow, number 8. Do you still love me this morning? The best way to give thanks is speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:17. For indeed you give thanks well. The best way to give thanks is speaking in tongues. Number 9. Tongues is a means of keeping us free from the contamination of the ungodly and profane elements of the world. A means of keeping us free from the contamination of the ungodly and profane elements of the world. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be 2 or at least 3, each in turn. I want to take the last. He says, verse 28. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and God. I want to explain this to you before we get to the last one. Are you ready to pray in tongues? Is anybody to handle the keyboard? I'm ready. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me. This is a young church. All of us are young. Yes, we have old women in church. The majority of us are young. Our major population, we are young. I want you to understand. There are too many nonsense going on the street. When I was growing up, I would look at Pastor Pamela and say, Pastor Pamela, you are looking fine. That was in 1979. Today, you look wicked. Very wicked. That's your way of saying she's looking fine. When I was growing up, I look and I say, Adna, this your hair is beautiful. Today, Adna, this your hair is dangerous. And the Bible says, do you know that your words work for you? You shall have what you say. When I was growing up in 1978, you look at someone's shoe, say, this shoe is lovely. Now, when you look at the shoe, you say, wait, it's bad. The shoe is bad. Bad shoe. Is the shoe bad? Why are we using our mind? How come everything good, we use devil's words to qualify it? The society is profane. You cannot watch a film without you hearing Jim Beck say, so, when you hear bad words, they contaminate your spirit. Your spirit can't stand strong. And you need a strong spirit. When you begin to hear those words, you need to switch off. We, as believers, we live two lives. One in the flesh, one in the spirit. So you know what happens? You switch over to the second life and begin to speak tongues to yourself and God. As a believer, there are some words that shouldn't come out of your mouth. It will contaminate your spirit. When we are young, when they sing love song, it's talking about beautiful things. Now, when they sing love song, I'm going crazy. I'm going crazy. This girl is going crazy. It is his way of saying that. Lift your hand and say, God, help us. Shout it very loud. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And do you know the bad thing about those songs? When they enter your ear, before they will come out from your memory. My neighbor was doing a party and put silver bed speakers in the night, 2 a.m. You know how? You don't get any song that they didn't sing. That's why I hear some of these songs, you hear me sing. Do you understand? The thing went on. He did the party for 2 nights. I said, what kind of distraction is this? The next day, I sat down to pray to my God. I put on my worship song. The worship song. Holy Spirit. The song was playing through too. My heart was singing. If you are my girl, I take you. I said, no. I can't be backsliding. It's not possible that I'm backsliding. Before that song left my mind, that's why I understand why believers say, if ear no hear, belly no they spoil. The thing stored in my, I had to use word of God to, it took me time to delete and delete and delete and delete. Sometimes devil will tell me, you know, you can sing this song to God. He said, if you are my God. The world is contaminated. So you have to use tongues to preserve yourself. There are profane elements everywhere. The people you are doing business with, they don't have the same motive with you. So you have to use tongues. Have I blessed someone? So when such a tongue, then I didn't know. Now when such a tongue keeps going on in my heart that won't edify. See, nothing must enter my heart that won't improve my life. That's what I mean. So that's just keep praying in tongues until you eliminate those profanity. And the last one says, yielding your tongue to the Holy Ghost. Yielding your tongue to the Holy Ghost to speak with other tongues is a big step towards being able to fully yield your members to God. Yielding your tongue to the Holy Ghost to speak with other tongues is a big step towards being able to fully yield all your members to God. The scripture and the last one for today. My brothers and sisters, James 3 from verse 1 to 8. Not many of you should become teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Verse 2. We all make many mistakes. If people never said anything wrong, they would be perfect and able to control their entire lives. Verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, so we can control their whole bodies. Number 4. Also, a ship is very big and it is pushed by strong winds, but a very small rudder controls that big ship, making it go wherever the pilot wants. It is the same with the tongue. It is a small part of your body, but it brags about great things. A big forest fire can be started with only a little flame, and the tongue is like a fire. It is a world of evil among parts of our body. The tongue separates its evil, spreads through the whole body. The tongue is set on fire by hell, and it starts a fire that influences all our lives. 7. People can tame every kind of wild animal, bird, reptile, and fish, and they have tamed them. But no one can tame the tongue. It is wild and evil and full of deadly poison. While we were in Charismatic and SU, they gave us this scripture, but they never told us how to control our tongue. Now listen, young people ask me on a daily basis, how do I stop the sin of fornication? And I have been researching. Amongst other things, this is one way. How do I stop my addictions? This is one way. How do I stop? It is your tongue that controls your entire body. Whatever your tongue says, your body, your brain will act and your body will react. I want to tell you this story and then we're ready to pray in tongues. Kenneth Hagin, of the blessed memory, said that he was conducting baptism in the Holy Ghost and he was an healing service. And he was teaching the people how to receive their healing. And one of that is that you shall have what you say. If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, one of them says, you shall have what you say. A very rich man came to me and said, Pastor Hagin, do you suppose that these things you're teaching is right? Hagin said, yes, it is. He said, but I have been trying it. It doesn't work. Kenneth Hagin said, yes, it doesn't work for real. You know why it doesn't work? How can God say something? You say it does not work. You know why it has never worked? Because you have always said it will never work. The man said, wow, that's why I'm missing it. Kenneth Hagin said, tell the man, tell yourself, make conscious effort to remember. The next time I go to Hagin to lay hands on me, I'll receive the Holy Spirit. I've been trying to receive the Holy Spirit for 50 years. The next time I go, say it for 7 days and then come for the Holy Spirit meeting. The moment the man has been saying it, he came for the meeting and received the Holy Spirit. I didn't know it was as simple as that. Friends, one of the reasons why our lives take a turn this way and the word of God goes this way is our tongue. To control your tongue, speak in tongues. To control your sexual appetite, speak in tongues. Look at caterpillar. It is the steering you use to direct it. Right? What you use to direct your life is your tongue. Anything God says you should have, you don't have it yet. It's not God's fault. It is our fault. Once I make my own right, it will work. Rise on your feet.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please contact The Femme Exchange at number 5 Oregbeni Crescent of Idayan Road of Ihema Road, GRA, Benin City, or call 080-511-03787 or 081-8977-5470 or 081-22-870-966. Worship with us every Sunday at Femme Foundation at any of our services, 7:30 a.m. or 9:30 a.m. Thank you and God bless you.